What's up, y'all? Peck here from CHGO Bulls. Our friends at Sunnyside Cannabis Dispensary are here to elevate your summer. Sunnyside is your home for judgment-free cannabis shopping. They've got a crazy selection with over 100 different strains to choose from with easy online ordering and in-store pickup. Stop in the store nearest you throughout Illinois for expert guidance from their staff. Head to sunnyside.shop and use code HICHGO at checkout for 35% off your favorite brands like Cresco, Good News, and Floracal to elevate your first purchase. Sunnyside Cannabis Dispensary, bright buys every day, only for 21 and over or Illinois med card holders.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Happy Tuesday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We appreciate you being with us. Law's here, reading the questions,
Hello.
Spinning the dials, hitting the record button, all those fun things.
Are there dials
that
to
he
spin?
Does?
There's sliders and faders.
Definitely buttons. There's buttons.
You know.
Nice knobs you got over there, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Here, let's spin those around for us.
Check this one. Chilly. Look at that. Oh, hey, it's Tommy Hawk.
Well, do us a favor. Smash that like button for us. And subscribe to our YouTube page as well. Podcast listeners, make sure you're following or subscribed and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A lot to get to today. We're going to, like we said, finish the mailbag. We've got some NHL playoff conversation. Thatcher Demko potentially out for the series.
Ruh-roh.
For Vancouver. Not good.
I picked Nashville, so.
Good for you.
It's looking better.
Bad for everyone else. And Samuel Savoie has been called to the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Let's go.
I'm just going to be there to greet him at the airport. Me and Tracy McGrady and Benny the Bull.
Quite the welcome.
Sir, please leave.
Sorry, Tracy McGrady?
Remember when Benny the Bull met and Jerry Krause and everybody met Tracy McGrady at the airport? And he was like, yeah, like no, I'm not coming here.
A free agency thing?
This is ridiculous. Treat me like an adult. Thanks. Bye. All right, let's do it. Tear it open.
Ah! Oh, we're going to the mailbag.
Rip the sack.
Yes, we are going to mail. Oh, it's not Wednesday. We'll skip that for now. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the reason we're here.
It's Tuesday.
Alex Vlasic. All right, this is from Jake Balky. What do you predict for Vlasic's contract term and AAV?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this. And I'm trying to put myself in Alex Vlasic's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And while it could be very tempting to...
Don't you mean his skates?
Skates, thank you.
Okay.
To cash out big now and say, yeah, I'm going to go for the $6 million for 6 years, 7 years, whatever.
Yeah.
I might be a little patient on that. Take the little two-year bridge deal and see what comes out the other side. Because I don't foresee a future where he's going to be getting much less than that if he continues developing anywhere close to what he's done so far.
Yeah, I think there might be some meat in the middle between him and the Blackhawks on this. Because I think if they were gonna, if the Hawks are gonna offer him a bridge deal, it's kind of good for Vlasic, as you said, like to bet on himself that he's gonna continue to develop and get better. So if they were like, 3 years at 3.5 or whatever, that would be betting on himself. That would be good for the Blackhawks to have that cap space over the next 3 years that they're kind of saving on him. But I think if you, from a team perspective, if you want to make it as affordable as possible and have him signed long-term and just to give him that showing of like, we believe in you, we believe in the direction you're going in, we want you to be a part of it, and use it as an example for the rest of the young guys moving forward. Like, hey, like if you put in the work, if you, you know, do the things that we're asking you to do and your development path is where we expect it to be, like Vlasic's been able to follow, like you're going to get you know, you're going to get your money. You're going to get invested here. So, I don't know. If it were me, I would be – I'm in the camp of give him the long-term investment.
Agree.
And don't necessarily be like, oh, 8 years at $5 million and lowball it. Like, give him six and a half, seven. Like, eventually that contract will be a bargain, I would think, as time moves on. So that's what I would handicap it as, just to give him that security, that investment, and, you know, give him that spot.
Yeah, I don't want to bridge deal it, but I don't get to make those decisions for either one of those guys. I'd rather give him the 6 year deal right off the bat, six by seven, somewhere in between 6 and 7 for 6 years. Sounds good to me. That contract will be looked at a bargain within two years. Yeah. You know, second season of that deal, people are like, God, I can't believe he's like, when you look at some of these successful teams, like the Carolina Hurricanes and Tampa and some of these other teams that have had been able to keep their young core together, they don't do the bridge deal stuff.
Right.
They get their guys at 6-7 years early, as soon as they believe in them. And there's no reason to think Alex Vlasic is not the goods going forward.
Everything says he is.
So, and I don't think Vlasic is so young in his career. I don't think Vlasic is at the point where he's just like sees nothing but dollar signs.
Right.
I mean, that's what his agent's there for.
I mean, he's no Zach Hyman, Rich, but...
Yeah, you know. But, well, I mean, he is from Wilmette, so he's got some cash. So, you know, playing for the hometown team, he's, you know, become a fan favorite, part of an exciting young core that's only scratching the surface of A, getting here, and B, accomplishing great things. You know, and that could be the sales pitch from Davidson, too. Like, hey, we want to lock you up 6 by 6.5. You know, we'd love to give you all this money, but we have to also think down the road, you know, do you want to get paid big or do you want to be part of something special for a decade plus?
Right.
I think, you know, if you lock them up long term now, you save money down the road.
Yep.
You spend more up front, but you save money down the road, because trying to sign him for 6.5 2 years from now, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. But that's the thing is, Vlasic knows that too. So we got to see what his motivation is. So back in February, Scott Powers actually did this very thing for The Athletic and compared it to Matias Samuelson's second contract with the Sabres. He signed a 7 year deal with a 4.285716 cap hit. He also compares to John Marino, who signed 6 years, 4.4. Michael Anderson, 8 years, 4.15. Rasmus Anderson, 6 years, 4.55. And Brandon Carlo, 6 years, 4.1. Those players' contracts were all around 5 or 6% of the cap ceiling when signed. The short-term comps who signed for 3 or 4 years are more in the 4% range. So if Vlasic's in that 5% range, it would be 4.375. 6% range would be 5.25. So all of those numbers lower than what we're suggesting, lower than what the chat is suggesting. So if they can get him under 6, oh my God.
Sure.
Give him as much term as he will take.
Right? Yeah, but
max
I mean
it out 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if they can work on a 6-7-8 year deal at that money, like that's wonderful. That is going to be an extremely affordable and probably under market value deal. In a short time, I just wonder about if they do that at like 3 years or 4 years, then you're talking about a 26, 27 year old Alex Vlasic hitting his next contract.
Then he's looking for
then
big dollars.
Then you're if he keeps doing what he's been doing and keeps improving, then you're looking at a massive deal for his third deal. But that's a future problem.
Remember the 2010 contract for Duncan Keith, 13 years, $72 million? And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's a lot of money and a lot of time. $5.5 million cap hit for 13 years for Duncan effing Keith.
That was one of the best deals ever signed. Yeah. I mean, that was a great contract.
You can't sign those.
No, anymore. Because of that deal and the Marian Hossa deal is the biggest. And a couple others, but
Kovalchuk.
Those are the reasons you can't sign those deals anymore. If you could, I mean, sure, there'd be a lot of guys on this roster that in the next couple years you'd be looking for those.
Connor Bedard, 20-year deal.
Here's a 33-year deal.
Yeah, Marian Hossa, 12 years, $63.3 million, $5.275 million for Marian Hossa.
Yeah, that's...
it's Tyler Johnson money.
I mean, it was a much lower
salary
cap.
On investment.
Yes. At that time,
yeah,
too,
lower salary
cap. But that's how you, that's how you got around it. Like, we're going to pay you $72 million. We know you're probably not going to play for 12 years,
right,
and we're
yeah.
okay with that.
Ovechkin, I know, had like a 13-year deal. Malkin had one. Yeah, crazy. Crazy that you could give that many years.
And just based on what Davidson said on Saturday when he was asked about the Vlasic thing, seemed confident something would get done. I don't know if he wanted to, you know, when you're negotiating, even in good faith and when talks are going well, you don't want to tip your hand too much.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't hear anything that concerned me in terms of it being...
it was a short answer. Basically, yeah. It was just like, we have time to figure it out and we will.
Right, yeah. And Vlasic himself kind of was the same, you know, line. The excited, loves what's going on here, loved playing with Seth Jones, you know, loves playing for his hometown team, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I don't see it being a very
It's not gonna get contentious.
It's not gonna get ugly. No. It's not gonna go to arbitration or anything like that. They're gonna work on a deal. He wants to be here. They want him here. Figure it out.
Yep, and they will.
All right.
All right. Let's go back into the sack.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Let's
talk about a potential free agent here. Tom Quinn. At Tinley Irish Hawk. Thoughts on Shane Pinto? He's a restricted free agent and could be available, as sounds like Ottawa will make changes. Would the Hawks shy away because of his suspension? If not, what do you think the Hawks would need to offer Ottawa to get him?
Well, I don't think the gambling thing scares him away at all. I think that was a guy who just made a dumb mistake.
Yeah,
and if you have to insure yourself, no one's ever going to do that again. I think it's Shane Pinto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Unless he hires an interpreter, I don't think he's going to be in any kind of trouble for that. Played the 41 games this year, had 9 goals, 27 points in those 41 games. He's one of those guys that I don't think we've seen what he's fully capable of. He's only played one full season last season, 22-23, played in all 82 games, so he hasn't missed a game outside of the suspension in 2 years. Had 20 goals, 35 points in those 82 games. Was a minus 21.
Bum.
Everybody was minus 21 on that Ottawa team. Still real young, 23. Won't be 24 till November. I mean, that's the kind of guy that if Kyle Davidson's going to go and make a big trade, that's the kind of guy you get. A guy that's hasn't hit his prime yet, still has a lot of potential. You don't want to give up a ton of assets for a guy who's 32,
right,
31,
right,
29, but a guy that's 24 that hasn't even hit his stride yet. Yeah, that's a guy, if he's out there, you definitely do.
I mean, we got to look at this from Ottawa's perspective, too, though. If they are looking to make changes, I don't think they're going to be looking to make changes from Shane Pinto.
No, that's
not
the guy.
Who is young and cost-controlled. And
but it also could be, you know, hey, we want to trade these guys, and everybody else like, no, we want Shane Pinto. They may be forced. I don't see them moving on from him.
No,
but if they do, you know, if Ottawa wants, you know, that Toronto pick next year.
Done.
And a second-round pick this year.
Done. Done. He's a known commodity.
Yeah. He's a 24-year-old kid.
Ish.
He's a 24-year-old kid that's already in the NHL.
Yeah.
Not an 18-year-old kid that might play in the NHL one day. I would do a first and a second for Pinto, knowing that he would be, you know, re-signed and extended here. I'm not sure he's going to be available.
Speaking of Ottawa, before we hit the break zone, how do we feel about 1 year of Claude Giroux at $6.5 million?
Yes, I love Claude Giroux.
You can't get a buy-in from players who are on one-year deals, Jay. Come on, we know this.
Don't misspeak.
We know this.
Don't feed that narrative. That's not what he was saying.
I love Claude Giroux.
I think he's a guy that obviously improves this team. He would fit a need of a guy who can make plays, score goals, someone who's going to be an offensive threat. Feels a lot like a Taylor Hall-esque type player, and I think that, you know, that's something that improves this roster for next season. Now, the fact that he's only on a one-year deal, and Kyle Davidson saying, like, we want to make this team better, we want to make them take the next step, does he want to get somebody who's going to help them do that that isn't on a one-year deal, or could be signed to a longer-term deal as a free agent or something like that? I don't know.
36 years old, by the way, Claude Giroux.
Yeah. Well, so is Nick Foligno.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, sure, if he's made available and the Blackhawks want to go and get him and do that, I'm not going to say that that's a bad idea. But just depends on if he is actually available.
21 points or 21 goals, 43 assists from Claude Giroux this past season. Played all 82 games. I don't think if they're looking to like get away from some cap and all that stuff, you probably wouldn't have to give much to get Claude Giroux. And if you say we'll take on that entire cap hit, I don't think you'd have to give up a ton. No. Maybe a third.
I mean, they've also got some. There's some other money,
but I think.
I mean, like Jacob Chychrun too is 4.6 for one more year too.
I'm over him.
No,
he's a guy that's.
But
like,
if they're trying to move on from guys, I mean,
that's a bad move.
We're getting a little in the weeds
up,
here, but
you just gave
you
up.
You gave up a lot to get
so
him.
Much to get Chychrun. You're gonna move on from after a year.
Yeah, but it's Ottawa.
Yes,
of course.
And Giroux might have no movement.
He does.
Because that's where he wanted to go. That's right. His hometown, well, hometown-ish, home region.
Is he full no movement?
It just says MMC on his. Yeah, it's not modified.
No movement clause.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, depends on what Ottawa truly wants to do. They're in that boat of we did the rebuild and we went for the contention window and none of it was ready to go. So now they got to kind of restart again.
Look at the names on their team. They should be better.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
They should be better. Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle, Drake Batherson, Giroux. They had Tarasenko for much of the year.
Who did they hang their season on in net?
Chychrun.
Anton Forsberg and
Korpisalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same problem they had last year.
Right.
Jake Sanderson. Josh Norris is a good player. Like, they should be better.
Mm-hmm. Jake Sanderson, actually, by the way, if we're talking about the Alex Vlasic thing,
he got
last year right now of his $925,000, his new contract, $8 million,
yeah,
kicks in next year until 2031, 22.
They made a 32. Big investment in him right away.
That seems like a lot for Vlasic.
For Vlasic,
$8 million?
I would say that's
I wouldn't do that.
That's a little bit over, yeah.
That's like how you get yourself in trouble
down
the road. When you know you have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, $7 million probably seems like my cap. My cap of how high I would want to go.
All right. We need to take a break because
we do.
Lawrence is getting antsy.
We do. And speaking of Shane Pinto, hey,
that's rough.
You know what you want to do if you're Shane Pinto is not listen to this ad. But since most of you aren't Shane Pinto, hey, have you checked out our friends at Circa Sportsbook? They're the best with their tight money line splits and low hold models. Circa is where you are going to get the best lines on all the action in sports that you want to put money on. Circa will strive to keep games at a minus 110 split, for example, unlike other sports books, which may use a minus 115 or a minus 120 split on the same line. And that is because Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets. They also do not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit you if you're a good gambler. They also encourage bettors to download and explore all the apps across the board and see that you are going to get the best lines from Circa Sportsbook when you compare them across the other apps. And what also helps Circa stand out from the rest is their customer service, because there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike those other books who use chatbots. Boo. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So what you want to do is download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. Sign up today and be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you may know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or text GAMB, G-A-M-B, to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
And if you truly want to win, you want to fill that fridge and that chest freezer with as much Kraft bacon as you possibly can fit.
Yes.
And we absolutely have your solution to said problem. Hit up our buddy, Charlie the Bacon Guy. He is based in Woodridge, Illinois, and makes Kraft bacon and bacon jams in over 35 different flavors. And with Charlie's bacon, you're not going to get any of that preservative crap. It's all natural. None of those chemicals in there, my friend. It is bacon and seasoning and goodness, and those are the three ingredients. Order as much as you want because every package is vacuum sealed. It freezes up perfectly. It'll last 60 days in your fridge and 9 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts 90 days in a fridge, 1 second in mine, and up to 1 year in the freezer. The bacon jam goes on everything. Scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, charcuterie board, cinnamon rolls, pizza, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. I put it on a baked potato. Oh, my goodness gracious, that was good. Me and my buddy Brian took down an entire thing of Charlie the Bacon Guy bacon jam in about a half hour this weekend.
Nice.
Really, really good. Good with Frito scoops.
Well played.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a nice vehicle for the bacon
half
jam.
Hour. What took you so long?
Well, we were talking and drinking, too. The Bacon Vault on charliethebaconguy.com shows you all the flavors he's made in the past. So if you see something you like and it's not currently available, hit him up. Give him 2 weeks. He'll get it done for you. He also has incredible merch. Check it out. Here are some of the bacon flavors right now. Ranch, rosemary, vanilla bourbon, maple espresso, Cajun, Jardiniere, and the new Canadian bacon, your bacon jam flavors, original bourbon, and cherry jalapeno. Now, listen closely, Hawks fans. We are trying to win this year contest.
Yeah.
We need you to use our code to save 10% at charliethebaconguy.com. So when you go to charliethebaconguy.com, plug in that code, CHGOHAWKS, at checkout. You'll save 10% on your order. You can pick it up from Charlie. He can deliver it, meet you halfway, or even ship it. He makes the bacon, so you can bring it home. CharlieTheBaconGuy.com. Use that code CHGOHAWKS.
Yep.
No spaces, and you will save 10% on your order. And we want to win that contest, so do it.
Do it.
CHGOHAWKS.
Yes.
Helps you, helps us.
By the way, want to shout out all the folks that joined us last night at our watch party at the Barn Hockey Bar.
That was a good time.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of people. We probably had about... We have the VIP section.
I counted the table.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of our section, but they were there because of us.
Right.
We had 15 people.
That's great.
Well played. It was a good time.
Which was, I was worried. I hadn't had a lot of people saying they would come. I was worried it was just going to be the three of us.
Yeah.
Sitting on our chairs watching hockey. So, I mean, not that we haven't done that enough.
We just need more, we need more time together, the three of us.
We had 15 people come out.
It was a good time.
It was awesome.
Watched the first games with us.
Had the little back section of the barn.
Barn took care of us, put us in the VIP section.
Mm. Is that on the Zamboni?
No.
No, I wish.
It's even had a little velvet rope.
Did they
keep the riffraff out?
Did they
out?
Use the Zamboni to get the section nice and cleaned up?
They did, yeah. They used it to vacuum.
I think they've... completely like what do they call it when you got a bug problem at the house and they put the
fumigated
with the big tarps over the entire house. They've tarped it off since we've been there to get it ready for the weekend.
Yeah, get the first
Jay was this close to starting to spin some tunes on the DJ board. Yeah. Right there.
I saw it there. I just didn't know how it worked.
So that was it was awesome.
It was a good time.
Awesome time. Something we might do again.
Should do it again
before the end of the playoffs. So
should do it for at least the cup final. We should do.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I like one per round. That's
one per round works for me.
That'd be fun.
That's awesome. The barn is great. And we're thank them for their hospitality and for taking care of us.
They were awesome. Mm-hmm. And you should definitely check them out.
Yep.
Yes.
Great food and great atmosphere. Even if you're not going to watch a hockey game, but you're in the area, go check them out.
It is a hockey bar, but it is also a sports bar. You'll have a TV every direction you look. And it's awesome.
Their booths there. Each booth has three TVs, one behind each booth, and then one on the side. So you literally have your own three TVs.
You're going there as a sports fan, and you're there with someone who wants to have a conversation. Good luck.
Yeah, well,
too many TVs to look at.
So it's a great time. So thanks to everybody who showed up last night, and let's do that again soon.
Try the roots.
Out. All right.
We're going back to the mailbag.
Let's do it.
This is from Scott.
Wings are...
he says, what is a reasonable amount of turnover from the current forwards? Is it better to sign 4 to 5 veterans and have Nazer, Slagert, Hayes, and Ludwinski be in Rockford?
4 or 5 seems a lot.
That's...
I think you're looking at 2.
You could...
Maybe
you could,
3 total signings.
You could go the route of we're going to fill the roster with space holders and let all these young guys play a year together in Rockford. But I think you're at the point where if your young guys are ready to go, some of them, let them go. Like, let them figure out what they have at the NHL level. It's what they did with Vlasic. It was more or less what they had to do with Korchinski because he couldn't play in the AHL. But, you know, if a guy like Landon Slagert plays next year in Rockford and then, you know, is able to move on to being a full-time NHLer after having a taste this year, that's fine. Same thing with Frank Nazar. If for whatever reason they feel like he is better served to play a year in Rockford before being a full-time NHLer, that's okay. I do get the sense, though, that unless they do go the route of here's 4 or 5 veterans to come in and take those spots that we're expecting to be open in the forwards group and the defensive group as well, I have a hard time thinking that a guy like Slagert, a guy like Nazar, maybe even, you know, guys like Colton Dock or Nolan Allen, I have a hard time thinking that they're not going to have a legitimate shot at being on the NHL roster to start the season.
If I'm making a prediction, I'm saying 2 forwards and a defenseman.
That sounds about right. They have 8 forwards under contract for next season. That's not including some RFAs. Lucas Reichel will be back. So there's 9. Joey Anderson, Mackenzie Entwistle, Reese Johnson. One of those guys will be back for sure. So there's 10.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of them are back.
I think Reese Johnson might have played his last game with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
It's another one of those where it's like, yeah, great guy in the room, gives you energy, but
he's also a guy. Yeah, I mean, he's also a guy that you could have in that spot of like he'll play in the AHL, but if we need someone who can play in the NHL to come up in a spot or something like that, he could be that guy.
Yeah, there's no problem with bringing guys like that in.
You probably have 10 guys under contract going in the next year, maybe 11. And you only have 3 defensemen under contract, not including Vlasic, so 4. So you bring in a veteran, that gives you 5. So that gives you, what, 2 forward spots and a defensive spot for young guys? Sounds about right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Slagert, I think, will be here opening night.
I think they're both in. I know it's a short sample size with Nazar, but... He was the best player in the ice for a bunch of the games.
We all thought this 2 years ago, Vlasic. We all had him penciled in for 82 games the following year, and we barely saw him. I think it's different, though, with a forward as opposed to a defenseman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use ink on the opening night roster yet, but, you know, I'd definitely be using a erasable pen.
Yeah.
it's going to be up to those guys. So I agree with you, Jay. 2 veteran forwards and a veteran defenseman off the free agent market, and then let some of these young guys fight for some playoff spots.
Yeah.
Or not playoff spots, roster spots.
Yeah.
In training camp. Training camp's going to be a beast.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be some really good position battles, things that matter.
That's why I asked Davidson, like, do you still plan on doing development camp off ice? And he said, yeah. But they've got a lot of roster battles coming up here. I was a little bit, not totally surprised, but I thought – maybe with so many dudes vying for so few spots, they might want to have another look at the guys on the ice. But their logic last year was these guys have just played a ton of hockey.
Yeah.
Let's give them, we also don't need teammates injuring teammates. Let's see it shake out in the training camp in the preseason.
Yeah. Going with the off-ice prospect camp, I think that's fine. Continue to let this group gel together off the ice. They'll play in the summer showcase again against Minnesota, I assume. I think that's a safe assumption. And then, when you get to training camp, the guys that are going to be vying for roster spots, the guys aren't automatically going back to junior or, can't participate in training camp because they're in college, those are the guys that are going to matter the most. So get them in and, let them battle it out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I think the off-ice development camp is going to start being the trend throughout the league. I think we're going to see more and more teams start to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of evolving past the let them fight it out.
You've already drafted them. You know what they're capable of. You have that's what your scouts are there for,
right,
to watch them during the whole season. What's 4 days of doing drills really going to tell you that you didn't already know?
Right. Exactly. How many more we got?
We have a couple more, but we do have a super chat that just came in from Brandon Eric, $1.99. Thank you. How do you guys feel about signing Chandler Stevenson? I believe that's Chandler. Unless
30 years old. He is coming to unrestricted free agency, I believe.
Mm.
He made 2.75 last year.
He's with Vegas.
51 points in 75 games. That makes a lot of sense. It's one of those ones where they might make a signing like that and it doesn't move the needle very much here, because I don't think Chandler Stevenson is a household name in the NHL. No. But that's it. When you talk about makeup and you talk about role acceptance and you talk about those things, I think Chandler Stevenson is a guy that kind of checks that box. So
yeah.
I would feel good about that. He produces. He plays well. He's in a good role on a good team. I'm down for that for sure. Yeah, he is a UFA this summer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's a guy that's fit well in Vegas, been productive. His last 3 years, 64, 65, and 51 points. A lot of assists. But, you know, when you're playing on, you know, Vegas, you've got a lot of guys who to pass to that will get you assists.
Yeah,
put him on this Blackhawks roster, those numbers probably take a little bit of a dip.
Maybe.
But not because he's playing worse, just because he doesn't have, you know,
he's not
passing to a Jack Eichel or a Jonathan Marchessault, unless they sign Marchessault too. Stevenson isn't on the top of my free agent list, but if he comes here, I won't be mad at it.
Yeah,
right.
There's other options I like better, but I wouldn't be flipping over tables if they signed him.
He also sounds rich.
He sounds like a lawyer.
Chandler Stevenson.
Yeah.
He wears a monocle on the ice.
He's definitely an Esquire.
Yeah.
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 All right, I got another super chat that just came in from Thomas Salata, $4.99. Nice. Thank you, Thomas. Not an obvious one on the surface, but could you see Slaggart getting the C? He really impressed me.
In Rockford?
Yeah. No, I think he's talking about Chicago.
No.
I know.
It would surprise me.
No. As long as Connor Bedard's here, yeah, that's the guy that you're going to point to as the captain in waiting.
Yeah.
Because it's just like Slaggart is a – could he be in a leadership role?
Of course.
Maybe. Could he be one of those guys that's like, yeah, he's a voice in the locker room. He's someone that we all listen to and you know, we respect his voice in the room down the road, a la Brent Seabrook, who didn't always wear a letter but was a leader. Sure. He's also 21, still has to graduate college, and played 10 games in the NHL. Like, it's going to take some time for guys like him to find that role in the locker room. But I think it's just very clearly going to be Connor Bedard's role to play eventually.
Yeah, I agree. And Blackhawks Hockey says Bedard will get the Kane treatment. Just give him the A. Keep in mind that Patrick Kane did not wear a letter for a long time, and with good reason. He was a effing problem off the ice.
Yeah. For a majority of his career.
Third of his career, quarter of his career.
Yeah.
It was half. When the phone rings, the team is worried kind of a situation. That's why he didn't wear a letter for a long time. Yeah. And Connor Bedard is the opposite of that. The only call you're going to get is, I want to go home and close the Fifth Third Arena. Can you tell this child to leave?
Yes. He won't get off the ice.
I want to go home. I have a family.
Yeah.
I've tried to run him down with the Zamboni, but it's not
right.
Working. He's outskating.
But he's
me.
Too damn elusive. If Connor Bedard wants to see, and he's worn it many, many times before.
Yeah, he's been the leader
of
junior teams and all that. Yeah.
I can't wait till Connor Bedard gets the captaincy, whether it's this offseason or a couple years from now, just so we could stop having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't lead without a letter, Greg.
In the long run, it's if you've got a good leadership group, it really doesn't matter who's wearing the letters. It didn't really matter for the dynasty teams.
Yeah. The A had to go come down the C in the penalty box.
Yes.
Mm.
I hate when the A has to come down the C.
That is the worst.
Speaking of C's, My favorite car dealership has a C in it.
It does.
Sure does.
Yes, it does. And that is
and an R.
Ray Chevrolet. And an A. It's got an A and a C. Wow. Drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing the best offers of the year. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 over Dare, over by Dare in Fox Lake, and join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the entire Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of the Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you'll find that perfect tailgate vehicle. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on all-new Silverados with over 100 ready to be sold. Not all to you, but get at least one of them. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, guys, can pricing get any more affordable? I don't think so.
No.
And you know what's not, you know what is possibly the most affordable thing ever? Free.
Yes.
And you can get a free oil change at Ray Chevrolet and Fox Lake just by mentioning your pals, us, CHGO. A free oil change. And all you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start off the spring right and schedule by April 30th. That's just a few days away. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. Find new roads. Try the ribs.
I see Law is very stressed out about a football match going on. And
yeah, Arsenal-Chelsea's on.
Yeah, we got
he needs to chill. And when it's time to chill, you got to crack yourself open an ice cold Coors Light. Because it is perfect cold refreshment for those stressful moments. And, hey, maybe after the game, I know we have a Chelsea fan here, too. Alex is here, too.
He's you guys
toast each other for a job well done after a fierce match with the Coors Light.
Hopefully I'm the happy one.
Well, that's not teamwork. That's not teammateship.
That's not nice.
Yeah, that's just mean.
He doesn't need this match as much as Arsenal does.
Okay, well,
his team, I should say.
I hope you can settle down, and I hope when a game's over, win or lose, Law, you can cool off and chill out with a nice cold Coors Light. Because you know, Law, when those mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, it's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to embrace a chill mindset, Law, it's good. It's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing. As your Colorado Rockies make the most out of the times you choose to chill, choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And our friend Windy City Hockey reminds me that when Brent Seabrook went into the penalty box to calm Jonathan Toews down, he did not have a letter on his sweater. That is correct.
So he got it.
So it never happened. That was a figment of our imagination. That was the Matrix. That never happened because you can't lead without a letter.
The unmarked player.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I walked in here today and there was soccer on every freaking TV. I
was sure.
Like, when did we turn into ENLD?
When?
Holds it.
Neil Bear in the chat. Yesterday was fun, dudes. Thanks for hosting and the slice of pizza.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for coming out.
Awesome.
It was a good time.
Thomas Solato was making me chuckle.
About the Lewis ad?
Our favorite mascot, Bedcheck Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bedcheck Charlie's been retired.
Retired.
Arrested on suspicion of...
We miss our favorite problematic mascot.
Yeah, good old Bedcheck Charlie. I was at Lewis last weekend, and he was nowhere to be found, unfortunately.
He's hanging out in that decommissioned airplane. Better.
Yeah. Yeah, he might have been lurking. He might have been lurking in an old hangar somewhere.
Yeah, in the bushes.
Behind the trees.
Yeah, there he is. Always watching.
Those eyes.
Yeah. Eyes are the best. Stuff.
He looks like...
like Jim Tomey.
Wow.
Looks like Mr. Incredible.
All right, we got to finish Halloween. Up
same thing.
the mailbag.
Yeah.
We got another question about a player. This is from Jake. I feel like it might be an unpopular opinion, but I think a fun, creative add to our offense is Patrick Lane. Columbus could be interested in moving him, considering the cap hit, which we can afford. And when he's healthy, he's a unicorn-type player.
I don't think so.
Disagree that he's the exact type of player the Blackhawks need.
8.7 for the next 2 years, for the record.
He's a guy they really need. The type of player he needs. They need. They need a guy that just gets puck, shoot puck. That's what Patrick Laine does.
Goal scorer.
That's all he cares about. Yeah. Scoring goals. That's it. He doesn't care about assists. He wants all the goals. Mm-hmm. Juicy Saros wants no goals. Patrick Laine wants all goals.
Yeah. All goals all the time.
All goals. Problem with Patrick Laine, he's never on the freaking ice.
Yeah.
He is always hurt.
Injuries.
And then he took the second half of the season off for his mental health, which I applaud. That's hard to do, especially when you're playing, you know, when you're in a tough guy sport like hockey. It's hard to admit those types of things, so yeah. I commend him on that. But he is always hurt. Mm-hmm. If he was healthy most of the time, I would go for that because he's the exact type of player they
need.
He's
only 26. That is crazy. Yeah,
he's
been in the league forever.
He was the pick after Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're both losing their hair.
It's the helmets.
Yeah.
He has missed over 20 games the last two seasons.
Yeah.
56 and 55 in only 18 games played this year because of the player assistant situation.
Well, he was injured before
that.
Right. So he, I like the idea of adding a guy that just wants to score goals because they need that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Laine is the guy to do it because he is yet to prove to me in his eight seasons
that he
could stay on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think he would be at full health, full capacity. Like, he'd be a wonderful player to play with Connor Bedard, but it's a big roll of the dice to do that. And I don't know if Columbus is exactly looking to get out from him.
I think they would.
But yeah, maybe they would if the opportunity was there. Yeah,
that they want to
resign. He's still a young guy. Like you said, 26, still very capable when he is healthy. But yeah, that's been a big question mark.
But I mean, if Columbus does want to get rid of him and get out from those last 2 years of that contract, you got to think it wouldn't take much to get him.
Yeah, maybe not.
Especially if a team like the Hawks says we can take on that no salary retention, you might be able to get him for table scraps. But again,
that's a big salary to take in.
I don't want to have
you'd hate to have a Taylor Hall situation.
Exactly what I was gonna say. I don't want Taylor Hall again. Yeah. Where you're like, cool, we got a winger for Bedard. Oh, where'd he go?
And he only
And like you said, totally commend him for handling the mental health aspect of his life. That's great. But I don't want a lot of wild cards thrown into the mix right now. Mm-hmm. Things seem pretty healthy. Obviously, they weren't as healthy as we thought towards the end of the year. There were some disgruntled leaders on this team that we heard from Saturday. And if you missed any of Saturday's press conferences, they're all up on our YouTube page. You can go watch them right there. But you had Jones, you had Foligno, you had Dickinson, and Richardson all sort of allude to, we had some guys playing for themselves this year instead of playing for the team. And I don't know if I want any sort of, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Laine. I'd have to do a little more research on the dude himself as a teammate.
I think he's had a lot of expectations on him. And I think he's been in two markets that he's come into and been like, hey, you have to be the guy all the time. And for some stretches of his career, he hasn't been able to do that. And I think because those expectations have been there, and I think some coaches that he's played for as well have contributed to that. So I don't know. Maybe a coach like Luke Richardson is a guy that could connect well with Laine. And I think, you know, if he were to come in and be like, hey, you don't have to be the number one guy all the time on a team like Chicago, where they have, you know, Bedard and some more players coming up the ranks to kind of take some of that weight off his shoulders of expectations, that might be a good situation. But again, it's a lot of maybes and ifs, and like you said, like, it's a lot of uncertainty there. So I'd rather move forward with a little bit of more certainty or more stability or more of a track record of like, yeah, we can count on this guy to do their job for an 82 game season.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, he certainly would make the team better, and him and Connor Bedard would look really nice together.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's, I don't know. It's don't know. I think I want maybe a little more of a sure thing.
Yeah.
We have a $50 super chat.
Finny. Hey,
oh, love it.
From Mahaffey Max. Thank you, Max. Max says, would love to see a Kyle Connor in Chicago. Contract expires in 26. Top line high skill winger entering his prime to pair with Connor Bedard. They're quote-unquote contending, but with Winnipeg uncertainty, do you think they'd give him up for a future one or two? Also, great job this year. Thank you, Max.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't see Winnipeg giving up on Kyle Connor at all.
Yeah, because I'm looking ahead to their contract situation. They've got Scheifele signed.
You don't just give up on 50 goal scorers.
Yeah, Scheifele signed through 2030-31 at a manageable 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Morrissey, 6.25 until 2027-28. And Hellebuck, rightfully so, 8.5 till 2030-31. Other than that, though, it's a decently spread out roster. They would be able to sign Kyle Connor back.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And I think that that's someone they're going to identify as someone they want to keep. I mean, if they want to give up Kyle Connor, cool.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm down. I'm certainly
down. I'm not
going
to say no if it's presented to Kyle Davidson, hey, Kyle Connor's available.
Yeah.
But I don't expect that to be a reality.
He's had 7 full seasons in the NHL and has scored at least 31 goals in 6 of those 7 seasons. The only season he didn't score 30 in was the 56 game weird COVID year where he still scored 26 goals in 56 games. Bum. So, 243 goals, 485 points in 531 games total.
You said 26?
Yeah, 26 and 56. So that would probably be about a 40.
That goal is a 38 goal pace over an 82 game season.
Right. So,
yeah.
31 and 76, 34 and 82, 38 and 71, 26 and 56, 47 and 79, and then 31 in 82 games. This year, he only played 65 games and still scored 34 goals.
Yeah.
Good player. Good. He's not – I don't think
almost
the Jets –
50 goal scorer.
I would love to see him in Chicago, and I think there's 31 other teams that will say the same thing. I want to see him here. The Jets
– in Chicago?
No. In their town, whatever respective town they're podcasting from. I know you say the uncertainty of the Jets, and I know it's because, their attendance is not as great as it should be.
Mm.
A lot of that has to do is because the economy is not great in Canada.
Thanks, Biden.
Especially in that part of Canada.
Yeah.
But if you have a team that's struggling to draw, you're not going to get rid of your best players. You're not going to become worse because that's not going to
become the Coyotes.
That's not going to make – well, they've already done that once. Yeah, exactly. They're not going to do it again.
Once is enough.
Utah HC.
If you're struggling to get fans in the building, you shouldn't make the team worse, Reinsdorf. So you should probably keep – a guy like Kyle Connor there.
Especially if you already have the good pieces there.
Right. I mean, a guy like Kyle Connor, he's a guy that people will pay money to watch play hockey.
Right.
He is going to be on that. We got the question yesterday, what are the lines for the Olympic squads? I was like, we have no idea what the rosters are. Right. But I am going to safely say Kyle Connor is going to play for Team USA.
I think so.
And he's probably going to play a prominent role.
Max follows up. It's the kind of player that would be worth splurging for, not to fast track the rebuild, but he's the type of guy I'd leverage to get assets to get. And I 100% agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Takes two to tango or something like that.
Right. You have to find a team that's willing to give up a player like Kyle Connor. And I don't see the Jets being one of those.
You know who else could do that? Connor Bedard. But I don't think the Blackhawks are going to give up Connor Bedard.
How many more Connors can you have on a team?
All the Connors.
Connor Bedard, Connor Murphy, Kyle Connor.
Connor Garland,
Connor McDavid.
By the way,
get all the Connors.
Speaking of players that 31 Connors. Other teams would like to have, all day in the chat for the last month, of course everybody wants Brady Tkachuk on their team.
Including the Ottawa Senators.
We need to stop addressing this. This is ridiculous.
We need to have an on-screen acknowledgement. We run it once a show. Official CHGO statement. Of course we would take any effing Tkachuk available. I would take Keith at this point.
I love even though
he's my size.
Check gets into the let's just name really good players and we should get here. Yeah. Yes, we should get all those players. No, we're not getting any of them.
Right. Brady Tkachuk is not available. And if he is made available...
But I hear Matthew Tkachuk might be.
31 other teams will do everything they can to get him. And the same with Matthew. Probably more for Matthew than Brady. But my God. Of course, if that would be a possibility, they should pursue it. But right. Stop.
It's not a possibility.
We see it. We saw it. We got it. Acknowledged. Thank you. Stop spamming us.
We saw it the first
time. I've got like this much of a leash left for people who spam the same shit over and over again. Because it's annoying to everybody else in the chat.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Last question from this week's mailbag comes from AJ at Coach Dak. Love the dog avatar wearing glasses. Those are nice.
That's AJ.
Hey, smart dog.
Okay, cool. Are there any under-the-radar prospects that we can expect the Hawks to sign? Tage Harding, Aiden Thompson as examples.
Both those guys are going to go back to college this year.
Feels like everybody they're going to sign for next year is
signed. It feels like the guys that they are going to invest in for next year are already here. They brought in Slagert. They brought in Nazar. They have guys moving from juniors up to the professional ranks. Gavin Hayes, Paul Ludwinski, Samuel Savoie. They're already signed to their ELCs. It's just because they play in the CHL. It's different. All three of those guys are likely to play in Rockford next year. I don't think that they really have anybody that is going to be a surprise signing to play professionally this year. I think they've signed their college guys. Ryan Green is going back to college.
I think it could be the same as the Nazar Slagert thing at the end of next season.
Yeah, when
you see more
At the end of Denver's season next year and the end of Boston's season next year, look for Aiden Thompson and Ryan Green to sign similar contracts where it's, you know, a 2-year deal, but they sign it in the last 2 weeks of the season, so it's a 1-year deal or whatever. Like, I expect that to be the case. I don't think there's going to be anyone that jumps out of the system and is like, oh shit, they're going to play professionally. I don't expect that. All the guys that they have signed, I think they're done doing that.
Can I address the chat again?
If you want.
There's someone in there, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to pick on people, who are questioning Patrick Laine's defense. One of the most vocal bring back Patrick Kane guys.
In the chat. Arsenal's up 3-0.
Give me bad defense, but also 10 years older because I know that guy.
Yeah, irony knows no limits.
Oh, it's 4-0, baby.
All right, no one cares.
Let's go. 4-0. No, cool.
And Charlie the Bacon guy.
It might as well be 1,000-0 if it's 4-0. Yeah. You turn it off now.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Is that it for the mailbag?
The mailbag is empty.
All right. Good job, everybody.
Let's talk playoffs.
Thatcher Demko is injured, and that's really bad for the Cubs.
Sure is.
He is a may miss. I think Elliot Friedman had it first.
The rest of the series.
And he did it in his very like Elliot Friedman way, hearing Thatcher Demko might miss the rest of the series. Sign off.
Yeah. That's it. That's all he needed to know.
Which means he's on life support.
Farhan Lalji from TSN says, Tockett said Demko skated yesterday, will not play tonight, day-to-day, says it's not connected to the injury he had before, the knee injury that he missed 5 weeks with this year. Had an MRI yesterday, questionable to return for the series. So that is a massive series-shifting piece of news. Because Demko has been just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge loss.
So it's Casey DeSmith or Artur Sulavs.
I love Artur Erbe.
Yeah, it's a definite downgrade in goalies. Definite downgrade for sure. But, you know, Vancouver's a deep team. As they proved in game one. I mean, Elias Lindholm scored their first goal. That's why you made the trade with Calgary to get him there, to score big goals like that. But otherwise, it was Pia Suter, Blackhawks legend.
Hey.
And, you know, bottom six grinder, Dakota Joshua. They scored 12 seconds apart in that third period. And then Joshua added a second goal, empty net. So they showed their depth. It wasn't their top guys. It wasn't JT Miller and Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. And Quinn Hughes had a couple assists, but it wasn't their main drivers of the offense. So I think they have a deep enough offense where they can make up for the loss of their star goalie. But over the course of a 7-game series,
Especially against a team like Nashville.
Nashville just keeps coming at you.
They peaked at the right time of the year. So, I mean, that's a dangerous type of team come playoff time. But, yeah, I mean, if you're Vancouver, you're really going to have to rely on your forwards and defensemen to carry it now, because you could lean on Demko to maybe save you a goal or two in a game that, you know, an average goalie might let in to keep a lead alive or to keep you in a game. Now you're going to, you know, guys who are NHL backup caliber trying to do the same thing. It's going to be tough. So they're going to need all their guys to step up and help out. This looks like it's going to be Casey DeSmith being the starter here. Help him out. Yeah. Because you don't have Demko, who's, you know, a guy that's, a lot of people had in the Vezina conversation this year. So that's a huge, huge downgrade that they're going to have to make up for.
I'm getting a kick online in hockey Twitter world about with this series, because you have two fan bases who have no right to talk crap to anybody, talking crap to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't celebrate like you won the Stanley Cup after winning just one game. How do you know what celebrating like you won the Stanley Cup even is? Either
side. You're not the arbiter of celebration.
You've got two teams that have had a long history of either being meh or failing at the biggest moments when the spotlight is the brightest. And now they're trying to one-up each other in smack-talking when it's like looking at like little children trying to like slap fight. And you're like, aw, look how cute.
Yeah, it's as long as it's entertaining hockey, let them eat each other online. That's fine. Those are two online fan bases. I'll let them go at each other.
Yeah, it's fun. I'll sit
back and observe.
Yeah, I think Nashville. I predicted Nashville to win before that series started, and.
Yeah, you did.
I think a lot of people did, though. That was like the upset special, the first round, and this news today definitely helps that a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready to acknowledge my Toronto Maple Leafs for a ballsy win without William Nylander in a hostile environment?
Well, I think this just proves that they are better without William Nylander, and that contract is going to come and bite them in the ass. Yeah.
Should
have traded him to Chicago when he had the chance.
Somehow to the Hawks.
Yeah.
Should have traded that troop-hating jerk when they had the chance.
Yeah, Nylander hates the troops. Look, I mean, Toronto is a very talented team. They have a lot of firepower. And, you know, they won a game where they didn't play extraordinarily smart. They took some bad penalties, but they were able to survive. And you had Max Domi score a really nice goal. You had him help set up Austin Matthews for a very superstar level goal. And look, like it's two very good teams going against each other, and it's, you know, Boston wanting to come out and prove that, you know, last year was just a huge disappointment and want to come back. A lot of those guys are back again and come back and beat the Maple Leafs. It's, you know, one of their favorite traditions, and it's the Maple Leafs trying to build off of last year getting to the second round and not have that be the only time in the next 19 years that they get past the first round. So it's a fun series, and I hope it goes seven.
Yeah. The word is William Nylander is a possibility for game three. That's the weirdest situation where, like, he plays all 82 games and then mysteriously gets hurt in between game 82 and game one.
Well, I guess it was like,
and they literally had like 2 days off.
Right. I guess it was like in the final game of the year, he took a hit that like caused whatever's keeping him out. So I don't know. Sometimes you sit your best players for the last game. Sometimes you play them and, sometimes
I'm sure
that
him missing those games are going over well in Toronto. Winning game two helps.
Yeah.
If they were gone down 0-2 without him, you know, it's always one of those guys' turns every spring to be the scapegoat. You know, Matthews had it a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Marner's had it. Nylander's already had it. You know, so who's going to be the scapegoat this year? But maybe this year is a little different for the fact that for the first time in like 3 or 4 years, people didn't go crazy with preseason predictions of the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup.
Right. Yeah.
I think most people making prediction were kind of like, they are who they are.
Yeah, show us otherwise.
They're losing in the first or second round. That's who they are. They're never going to be better than that. So maybe that takes the combination of winning a round last year and the fact that not everybody in the world outside of Toronto is picking them to win it. Maybe it takes a little pressure off. I still think they lose this series. So
Samsonov,
just I don't trust him.
That's
beat
certainly a factor. There's no doubt about that. And Boston has a huge leg up in goal, regardless of who starts. They've got two Vezina level goalies, which is a huge advantage for them. But take away the Maple Leafs clothing, right? And you, like, how horrible does Nylander feel right now? Like, oh my god. I had my best year, 82 games, committed to this team long term. Mm-hmm. They committed to me. Seemingly, like, most of the fan base had come around on him, and now when they need him most, he can't go. And he wants to.
Right.
He went out for the morning skate yesterday, gave it a shot. They'll see what the next day brings, but I can't imagine being in that position as just a competitor, as someone who wants to win, someone who wants to be great, like Nylander does, to not have the opportunity to go out there and help. And I know I got laughed at in the preseason, and maybe rightfully so, but bringing in Domi and Bertuzzi and Ryan Reeves, to a lesser extent, it was too long, it was too rich, but he made a difference last night. Ryan Reeves was a difference maker in that game last night, and that's the kind of stuff that I think Jones and Foligno and Dickinson are talking about, is bringing not just Reeves, but Domi, who is a guy who likes to score, and Tyler Bertuzzi, a guy who likes to score, came in and accepted the roles, brought a little bit of a different feel to the roster, and it's made a difference.
Yeah.
You know, they did not look scared last night. At no point did they look scared. No. And we have seen the Maple Leafs year after year after year, as soon as there's a little fragment of, oh my god, something bad happened, they fall apart. Well, last night,
you saw that in game one.
Yeah. Well, in game two, they go down 1-0, and who scores the goal right away? Max Domi is right there on the doorstep. Austin Matthews hits the post. Domi's there to score the rebound. Like, that's what they're talking about. Whether or not it means the Leafs win the Cup or the series is one thing, but when you hear what Jones and Foligno and Dickinson are saying, that's what they're talking about. It's those kind of guys, those character, grind it out, play their asses off, not worry about the stats, worry about the result. Those are the kind of guys they're looking to bring in, and they need to bring in, frankly.
Yeah, they do.
So, anyway, it's going to be a fun offseason for the Hawks.
Jake DeBrusk's price check tag is
going up.
Should have kept that one under my
head. See, now do you want the Leafs to win in round one so that DeBrusk's price tag goes down a little bit?
Well, then Domi's price tag goes
down. Yeah, right? What is it? Yeah. No. If you had to pick one of those two, I think I'd take Domi.
I think I'd take, yeah, probably Domi. The known commodity.
Plus, Ric Flair will be at some Hawks games.
It's funny, though. I bring up Jake DeBrusk. Made a comment on the Twitters when he scored that first of two goals in game one. I meant, boy, Jake DeBrusk would look good in a Blackhawks uniform. And most people were like, yeah, sure. And then you get your few that are like, well, he's lazy. He only shows up 35% of the games. He takes nights off, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't watch enough Bruins game. Maybe next time we have our pals Pete and DJ on, we can ask them about Jake DeBrusk.
Not a Bruins podcast.
But, you know.
Oilers podcast.
They're oil men.
I remember a lot of those things being said about Dylan Strome 2 years ago. And since he's gotten to change the scenery and go on to Washington, and with a coach that knows how to properly use him, all of a sudden nobody's saying those things about him anymore.
Yep.
So, you know, also, you know, unproductive in stretches playing in the bottom six doesn't necessarily mean lazy or doesn't give a crap. It just means you're playing a different role.
Yes.
Where you might not get scoring chances. So we'll see. Next time we talk to our What Chaos Piles, I'm going to ask them, yay or nay, would you want Jake DeBrusk on your team, as having guys who have had him on your favorite team for the last few years?
We should talk to them soon, see what they're up to. We'll check in with them soon. I know they're all in on the playoffs, so make sure you check out the What Chaos podcast. Also, programming reminder, should have done this earlier, my bad. Thursday, we're on at a special time of noon. Nick Foligno will be here in studio with us Thursday at noon. Don't miss it. It's Nick's final official appearance of the offseason, so make sure you are with us Thursday at noon. Set a reminder, tell a friend, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your partner, your wife, and your girlfriend. Tell them both. Nick Foligno, Thursday at noon. We'll be here because it's draft day. You may have heard the Bears are drafting on Thursday. So all hands on deck at Joe's on Weed. So
who
we have to get in early.
Who do you think they're going to take?
I don't know.
Max Domi.
This guy paints his nails. I'm not so sure.
Oh, I don't know. I heard he has a pink phone case. I don't know if you can be a winner with that.
This is a blue-collar city, not a pink phone case city.
Yeah.
No, we need that Michigan guy.
Blue collar has worked for so many years with Bears quarterbacks.
Yes, it did.
He's all those
Super Bowls.
Despite playing high school and living in Washington, D.C., where it gets cold and they have winters, he played college football in California. He couldn't possibly in Bears weather.
It doesn't get cold in Oklahoma either, ever.
Can't wear sleeves.
Even though Aaron Rodgers went to California.
From California.
Not far enough.
And won a lot of games playing in really cold weather.
Yes.
Just not the big one.
Maybe we get how cold is the moon? Can we launch him to the moon and see how he performs?
Not far enough.
Penis. Nah, the sun. Sun's further away and it's hotter.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the sun's a conspiracy, if you ask Aaron Rodgers.
It's flat.
Doesn't exist.
So is the moon.
Yeah, good point.
It's made of cheese.
Well, let's launch him either way and see what happens.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow, 2:30 regular time on Wednesday. Then again, Thursday at noon with Nick Foligno. We'll talk to you then on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.